Oh, is he?
What'd you do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's.
Pretty darn lucky.
That's great.
Pretty tiny.
Which is fair.
Yeah, so.
Hands full.
No, she was only 1 pound.
Lucky, smart.
Oh, very
smart
good.
Girl.
Yeah.
She knows how to do it.
So.
How you doing?
Okay.
I'd like to call the November 8th joint meeting of the Kirkland Planning Commission and Houghton Community Council to order. Roll call.
C. Ray Althouse. J. Arnold.
Here. Here.
Andy Held.
Here.
Brian Katsuyama.
Here.
Glenn Peterson.
Here.
Mike Miller.
Here.
John Pascal.
Here.
Bill Goggin.
Here.
Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Rick Whitney. Laura Hine.
Here.
Elsie Weber.
Here.
Brian Gothrop.
Here.
John Kapler.
Here.
Okay. I think before we get started, you have a new Houghton Community Council member.
We do. We are happy and excited to introduce to the Planning Commission Brian Gothrop. He is our newest member, and we are happy to have him. Thank you. On our council. He's young and excited and ready to tackle the course here. So we're very excited. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And welcome.
You.
I guess they welcomed you. We can welcome you too. So. Anyway, the first item on our agenda is comments from the audience, and we do not see anyone. We do not have any audience tonight. So, no, remember, Andy, you weren't supposed to say anything tonight.
No, it wasn't a real word.
Just need to keep control here. Okay, so the first item on the agenda is a joint Planning Commission Houghton Community Council public hearing on the 2012 Comprehensive Plan Amendment, file number ZON 12-00001. With that, we have Joan and Jeremy. Who would?
Joan's going to start off.
Okay.
Hello, Houghton Community Council and Planning Commission. This is the 2012 annual amendment of the comprehensive plan, city initiated. Each year we go through this exercise and we make the capital improvement plan consistent with the other way around. The capital facilities plan contained in the comprehensive plan consistent with the capital improvement program. And we also do a number of updates to the plan to reflect current conditions on the ground, a snapshot, if you will, of what the improvements are on the various functional maps that we have in the comprehensive plan. And we do housekeeping, and if there are state or local initiatives, we have to bring the comprehensive plan into consistency with those. This year there aren't any to do. So this is more simplistic in that regard. The purpose of this meeting is to consider the public comment and provide a recommendation to the City Council. And first I'll make the presentation and then public comment and then discussion. And then the Houghton Community Council will deliberate and make a recommendation to both the Planning Commission and the City Council. And then the Planning Commission will deliberate and make a recommendation to the City Council.
I might add, this is a little different than we're used to, because typically you would then go away to your next meeting and make a recommendation, but we feel like the amendments are pretty straightforward, and it's good to have a discussion now and pass those forward if you can tonight.
And then we go to the City Council with an ordinance for their consideration on December 11th, based on the comments we received from you all and your recommendation. And on January 28th, we go back to the Houghton Community Council for their final approval. The amendments include the CFP, the Capital Facilities Plan. We have each year, we have to update the six-year plan for transportation, surface water, utilities, fire, and building and parks. The utilities is stormwater. Sewer and water. Okay? The Carillon Woods Park Community Landmark is a new designation for that site. The Totem Lake Neighborhood Plan revisions are to bring the recent zoning code amendments into consistency with the comprehensive plan. There were some things that needed to be updated. The water level of service standards, there was a new water comprehensive plan, and it showed that water storage has increased, whereas distribution has decreased. The non-system intersection table has now had two intersections added to it that affect the north sub-area, transportation sub-area. And these are intersections that are not used in the calculation of concurrency and level of service because of their less important role in providing a route on the major arterial system. The hazardous liquid pipeline policies are provided to provide context for the regulations that were adopted in August in the zoning code. The Kingsgate name change is to Evergreen Hill was proposed by the Evergreen Hill Neighborhood Association. Staff is recommending that this not be implemented at this time, but we wait for the neighborhood plan update, which will occur somewhere in 2013 through 2015. The idea is to get more public input on that process.
Maybe I might clarify, we're talking about the comp plan update, not a neighborhood plan update.
Right.
2013 to 2014.
Yeah.
And we have had conversations with the chair of the neighborhood association, and they're okay with that approach to look at it when we do the comp plan update.
The implementation element, implementation strategies element, we're revising to clarify, delete projects that have occurred, and take away prioritization of projects. The housekeeping amendments, we have a list of those. And Jeremy will speak to the residential market change amendments. The housekeeping amendments talk about how we've gone to the NORCOM, which is a centralized emergency communication center, rather than the city responsible for its own. Park information has been updated to take into account the JFK area. Cross Kirkland Corridor name replaces the Burlington Northern Railroad name. Our bicycle system map now describes the existing rather than the planned system. North Rose Hill urban design map is slightly updated. And all of our functional maps in our comprehensive plan have been updated to reflect current conditions. And if you would like, I can go into further detail on any of these at your pleasure.
Any interest on the planning commissioner's point to get in more detail or any specific questions? Houghton, John?
We would like to do a quick presentation on the...
residential.
The market.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
But other than that, is there any...
I assume you mean just... Do you mean just the housekeeping amendments or anything?
No,
anything.
All of them.
I do
except for residential markets,
right.
And Jeremy will be speaking to that.
Elsie?
I do have a question. Is the NORCOM, does that mean that belongs to the county? Or I don't quite understand that. It means the city is not going to be responsible?
It's a regional center, and it's centralized. I believe they're out of Bellevue. They serve the east side cities, and I'm not sure if the King County, the greater King County area or not.
I'm not sure the extent of it, but it is a consortium of cities,
yes,
that are coordinating emergency response through the dispatch center in Bellevue. So it's not doing away with the city's function. It just consolidates that with other jurisdictions in one centralized location.
Can I ask one more question regarding that? Does that mean emergency calls got to go there first before they come back to us?
It's all centralized, and it's dispatched.
It's been that way for a couple of years,
right,
already, unfortunately, like it or not, which...
All right. I just was curious.
Yeah. John?
Two quick questions, Joan. Number one, I could not find the figure any one that had the bald eagle nesting sites. So.
Okay. So, it should be, let's see.
And I'm feeling a little ignorant that I just couldn't find it. I'm sure
it's... Let me look in my packet and I'll tell you.
Thank you. Number two,
mm-hmm,
is the comment on the name change of Kingsgate. I had circled that in my packet and asked why, and then I later read that the Neighborhood Association had written a letter requesting. You had mentioned that this will be part of the 2013 comp plan that's driven from the neighborhood plan updating to the comp plan?
No, it's not a neighborhood plan update at all. It's just a matter of trying to do the name change as part of that comprehensive plan update, not as a result of any neighborhood planning process. It's folding that into that general comp plan update process.
Okay, and then so in addition to that, there will be a way that the neighbors can weigh in on that and a process for that.
Yeah, I think that was the issue, that we may want to broaden that the outreach and let people know that the neighbor associations proposed that, so that there'll be more, I guess, opportunity to comment upon that at the time.
Including businesses, I'm...
Sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Page 120 is the
120.
Any one map, John?
We found the map, thank you.
Yeah, 120. And there's a legend.
Oh, for gosh sakes.
And it shows the bald eagle nest location, the 330-foot bald eagle nest buffer, and a 660-foot bald eagle nest buffer.
Thank you.
Jay?
While we're there,
Lorna?
Losing my page, just a second. A page back on page 118. Central Houghton got left off of the neighborhood.
Oh, it sure did. Central Houghton. Okay.
Yep.
I thought
I'm sure
it.
There's some sort of subliminal message in there somewhere.
Try not to take it personally.
Can't you take a hint?
Try not to.
So that's how you do it.
Good catch.
Slowly but surely we're embraced.
Oh my goodness.
Now that the election is over.
Yeah. I'll blame that one on GIS.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got a couple of questions on page 63, the capital facilities plan with the level of service for water and sewer. Is changing those numbers a policy change, or is that just reflecting existing conditions?
It's a formula. Apparently there's a, when they did the water comprehensive plan update, they have a consultant and they run the numbers and they have a this is a fact. It's not a policy.
Well, it's a little of both, but I think it's more related to this is the number they came out with in terms of the plan itself. So
it's based on factors that are explained in the memo, but like emergency service, having enough for storage, and the level of service of what they know per capita, what is needed, and the trends in housing size and water usage and all that. So
okay,
that goes into it.
Second question is with the hazardous liquid pipeline additions of goals. There are a number of places in the, or a couple of places in the text that have specific distance numbers in there.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is there a specific reason why we would have distance numbers? Because if we were saying something like we want setbacks in our particular area, we would not want those numbers in the comprehensive plan. We want those only in the zoning code. And I'm wondering if, since these are policies, if there's any reason why we're required to have numbers in there versus just a statement that said there's a notification window near the pipeline and there's monitoring near the pipeline versus saying specifically 150 feet for this, 50 feet for this, etc.
Right.
And this is on page 72 and 73.
That's a good question. I ran it by the gentleman at Jim Doherty at MRSC, who was helping me throughout the process with the zoning code amendments. We also sent this up to the pipeline folks, and they had no comments. But Jim felt very comfortable with all of this from that point of view. But from the point of view of the comprehensive plan being more general and the zoning being more specific, I don't have a good response for you right now. The idea is, though, that 150 feet is the consultation zone that we approved in the zoning regulations. The 50 feet was agreed upon by Olympic Pipeline Company to be the area in which they have concerns and they want to see the plans when they come through the department for review. And so we've put together a notification form, and we'll be sending it, the applicant will be sending that attached to the plans for anything that happens within 50 feet of the corridor. So
I think you can do that if you want. Okay. I think the idea is to put people on notice and to be consistent with the zoning. So it's kind of your call if you want to be more general or have it more yeah. clarity in the comp plan.
Okay. Third question is with the implementation tasks in attachment 14. There's a priority column with stars, and I was having trouble deciphering if the ones that what the stars meant was that a higher priority than those without stars. And
well, the number that's supposed to be gone.
Okay.
Okay. The idea was to get rid of those, and I don't know why we don't have those struck out from this draft, but we will show them. That's the intent. Okay. Anyway, there was a prioritization. The one asterisk meant that those were a higher priority to have them accomplished.
Okay. And related to that, given that we have previously punted on the zoning code or the Lakeview Houghton Business Center changes, would that not be an implementation task that should be reflected in here?
Sure. That makes sense.
Okay.
Glenn?
I want to get back to this Kingsgate Evergreen Hill thing. And it actually, Paul, what was that explanation you interjected when John was talking originally?
Well, the idea is not to do that right now with this comp plan update, but to fold that into the overall GMA required comprehensive plan update we're going to be taking on in 2013-2014. And the idea behind that is to give more people an opportunity to look at that. If they have a comment upon it, they can do that, and to get the word out more broadly than we have at this point. So we wouldn't be, we would just be putting that as an item among a number of other items to look at with that overall comp plan update. Does that make sense? Or?
So you talked to Joanna?
We did.
And she's, because I, this is the one thing, I see the letter in here that they say they unanimously agreed on it, and
right.
I was kind of inclined to say, come on, just do it.
Who's unanimous, right?
But,
yeah, we had a conversation with her. I think the assistant city or deputy city manager did, and she was very comfortable with doing it that way.
Mr. Chair, if I might comment. Glenn, I talked to Johanna today, and she said that the meeting where they changed the name of the neighborhood association to Evergreen Hill was only a few people, and she agreed that there should probably be a broader community discussion, although she does believe the neighborhood name needs to be changed because of confusion between the Kingsgate subdivision and the broader Evergreen Hill neighborhood.
Yeah, I was in
So she is okay with, even though the neighborhood association originally recommended the change, of pushing it off till next year.
Okay.
John?
I'd maybe like to ask one more question. I'm hoping the answer is really, really simple, and I'm asking this because Jay brought up some of the financial stuff. It's a reconciliation between the numbers on page 37 for the capital improvement and transportation fund list, and then the categories on page 41. Because in the first category, it talked about the levy numbers. The second on page 41, and then the second table down, it's got four different line items for road improvements. And I'm wondering, how does anybody understand this unless they're part of the process of doing it? With you keeping such an eagle eye on the road stuff and, you know, the numbers part, because I know you really look at that. What am I missing? Because it seems pretty complicated to me.
Are you mentioning that there's no comp plan ID number next to the yellow in the chart on page 37?
No, I think it was simpler than that. If I added up all the numbers in the transportation cost list, they're not even close to those five different categories.
Well, the CIP is only, and the CIP is only a six-year time frame. Yeah. But 2022 is a long-term number. So.
Oh,
so that
that makes sense.
Yeah, the difference there. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, page 41 is 2013 to 2018.
It's crystal clear now. Oops, never mind.
Hey, any other questions, comments? Questions, I guess, really.
On all topics?
We'll wait for Jeremy to do the market.
just one, which is on page 129. And I apologize. I intended to email this. this is the bicycle system figure. Bicycle figure drawing, figure T2, and the trails in Brattle Trail State Park are shown.
Okay.
And bicycles are not allowed in Brattle Trail State Park. Those trails are appropriately shown on the pedestrian facilities map, but should not be on the bicycle facilities map.
Is your contention that there shouldn't be
trails? I think it shows as a trail, though. If you look at the legend, it just says trail.
It isn't meant bicycle trail,
yeah,
I don't
think. Yeah, so maybe we need to clarify that.
My assumption was that it was bicycle trail, being that it's the bicycle system. And there are things shown like the Brattle Crest Trail, which is shown as a trail on this map appropriately because it is similarly a non-improved dirt trail, which is open to bicycles. There are many examples of that on this map where the trails are just dirt paths but are open to bikes.
Right.
So these...
So either take it out or clarify what that means.
Well, it would be ambiguous to clarify it.
Sure.
It needs to be in a different color than the other trails, or right. I believe most appropriately it should be removed, since turn the page, see the pedestrian facilities, and there they are.
Right. Yeah.
And are all of these little dots in here, are they bicycle trails except for the ones that are in Brattle Trail State Park? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, they're all
No.
Well, so they're all trails, and bicycles are allowed on them.
Bicycles are allowed on all the others, but not...
To my knowledge...
Bicycles are not allowed on the waterfront. my favorite subject again. On the
public access.
On the public access trails.
Along the lake, that is correct.
So maybe this whole map needs to be reviewed. Yeah.
There is, yeah.
I think it was, yeah.
I have another question in regards to that.
How about the one that goes down?
And it might be... I saw on the bicycle trail, it does reflect Bridle Trail State Park, but it doesn't seem that any of the other maps do. Is Bridle Trails part of all of this, or...?
Well, the pedestrian system does show that, but the other maps don't have that. I think it's just a matter of showing a connectivity with the state park is all, but the other maps, the Bridle Trails is not in the city limits.
Yeah, because I noticed it wasn't in the park map.
Right, it's not a city park.
Maybe it'd be simple, it's just to delete it.
It's not shown in tree canopy either.
No, well, in general, all the maps, as Paul just said, they show what's in the city. And the Bridle Crest Trail, that's the one continuing towards Swan Lake there on the east of Northeast 60th Street, is a county facility. And it's shown there as well.
For consistency, I mean, it's an interesting subject because you look up in the Finn Hill neighborhood and we have mountain biking trails throughout Big Finn Hill Park and St. Edwards Park, and those aren't shown on there. And furthermore, St. Edwards Park is actually shown on the pedestrian system map and the bicycle system map, but that's outside the city as well. So if you're going to show that, then you should show Bridle Trails, I would guess. Vice versa. So, and then we have the trails mapped in O'Denny, Big Fin Hill. Those are all things that are part of the park's map, the most recent version that the city released, I think a month ago or so, or a couple months ago. So might as well integrate that in here.
So my suggestion on that would be to look at that for we update the entire comp plan and look at all our maps and make sure they're all consistent. I'm not sure we're going to have the time and the resources by the end of this year to get that all together.
I think it's just turning on a layer, but
maybe so.
Mm-hmm. I'll check and see whether it's that simple.
While we're on the bicycle trails, I was also wondering, a bicycle trail, I'm guessing, or a bicycle lane counts whether it's an actual lane or a sharrow, because there does seem to be a distinction in my opinion.
There is.
It's whether it's a bicycle lane or a sharrow, it's still shown as the same thing.
I don't think that's the case. I mean, when I look at it, those are bicycle lanes on there. Unless do you see something?
Well, the entire length of 108th Avenue, just for an example,
sure,
is shown as a bicycle lane, and there are significant sections of that that are sharrows, not bicycle lanes. That's just one that comes to mind, and I'm not intimately familiar with the rest of the bicycle lanes, but I know I run across places where there are sharrows, but there is no bicycle lane, and this looks like it's a bicycle lane. I'm thinking, like, coming up Kirkland Way and along 6th, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but that one in particular jumps out at me just because I am most familiar with it. Mm.
And indeed, I mean, historically, we distinguish between type 1 and type 2 bike routes, one being on the roadway separated by a paint versus separated by concrete or a level change. And city has recently adopted sharrows, shared pavement, no delineator, even painted. And I think that's good. And that's just another one of changing the label, because it's not necessarily a bike lane. A marked bike route.
Mm-hmm. So, Paul and Joan, I did submit a bunch of comments today just about things that I saw on the maps and lists that were attached. I think it'd be helpful, kind of well, I guess we're going through the comp plan update next year, but the maps and things are the stuff that, you know, really, you know, jump out to me, and where I can actually see this and understand it. And when it comes in our packet at right before the public hearing, it's almost like too late, like as Paul says, to make any substantial changes or any even minor changes to that effect. So be nice to try to get the maps prepared earlier, you know, when you bring this before us, because I think you brought it before us a number of meetings ago. So, you know, it'd be nice to think of a way in which to do that so that we could provide a little bit more input, because I think that the stuff, it is kind of minor, but on the other hand, I mean, the maps do mean a lot at times. So just a thought, and I know it's difficult, but it'd be helpful.
When?
Change subject?
Maybe.
No one else's. I know it's just on pages 56, 57. I don't know if this is a printing thing, but I'm trying to figure out why we have section 4, community character, which of course starts in the middle of the page. And then we have section 5, community character, which is just continuation of the same thing.
It's just a cut and paste thing with PDFs and with Word documents that we download from the web.
Okay.
But they have different Roman numerals. That's what seemed strange.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, I don't know why
that. I kind of think those should be combined. But.
Well, they should. Yeah. But have you tried to do that? No, it is a problem, but the intent is that it's just a continuation.
Right.
The plan itself, it's another page.
Is there no Roman numeral 5? That's just not was a change to. Yeah.
Well, Roman numeral 4 is for community character, and why it says V on there, 5, I do not know.
So maybe that should be, that should be.
When that should be Roman numeral 4 as well.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised at the list. It's way bigger than I thought it'd be. There's a lot there.
Okay, shall we move on to Jeremy?
Good evening, Jeremy McMahon. Houghton members, interrupt me, ask questions if you need to. The Planning Commission has, okay, Elsa.
Before we start, you're going to do the residential markets, right?
Yes.
Okay. I called and talked to Hun Cho yesterday. He owns the Super 24, which is what we're talking about, and asked him if he got a letter from the city explaining to him about it, and he said no, he did not. I encouraged him to come to the hearing tonight to voice his opinion after he listened to us, but I don't see him. I'm just reporting.
I did send a letter to the registered property owner with the King County Assessor's Office after, I think, the last Houghton Community Council meeting. You suggested that they be contacted. So
he didn't get it or didn't open it or something happened, but anyway, okay. I just wanted you to know.
We tried. So I sent him a letter trying to break it down into lay people's terms to explain what the change was and encouraged him to call or to attend the hearing also. The Planning Commission has been at a number of code changes to the commercial zones for I think about a year now, and this minor comprehensive plan change came up along the way as something that needed to be dealt with based on the City Council direction. So as part of a larger set of code amendments with some minor related plan amendments, for commercial codes. None of the zones that have been studied are within Houghton Community Council jurisdiction. Where the community council is involved is on the Planning Commission's recommendation to try to create some policy consistency in the land use element for business zones and what it means to be what type of commercial area. A quick overview, and I'll show you a map also, on the lower right-hand side of the slide is in the land use element of the comprehensive plan, the plan designates commercial areas based on the intensity. So obviously at the high end, an urban center, that would be Totem Lake, where you have very intensive commercial development, you plan a lot of transit, etc. It works its way down to business districts, which would be like the Houghton Center, neighborhood centers, all the way down to residential market, which is intended to be the lowest intensity commercial area. What that looks like in the comprehensive plan figure, land use element two, is this. This is just a snapshot showing the southern part of Kirkland and the changes that are being proposed. So what we have right now is two residential markets in the plan. One is the Lake Street South and 10th Avenue South site, the site of the Patala Village proposal, and then the Super 24 site, which is the only one that's in Houghton Community Council jurisdiction. That residential market designation occurs in the Lakeview neighborhood, your recently adopted Lakeview neighborhood plan also, so that's why there are two maps that are suggested to be changed. So the Planning Commission and the City Council review initial review concurs with this, is where we have those neighborhood business zones, these are BN neighborhood business zones and a similar family of zones, is to try to make those consistent rather than have a commercial site here, a BN zone site here, a residentially zoned site here with the same designation to bring consistency. So this BN zone has the same land use designation as this BN zone, which has the same land use designation. This is Market Street Corridor, but it's a close cousin of the BN zone. So that's what the Planning Commission is looking at doing. So the oddball in all of that is the Super 24 site, because it's not a commercial area. It's not really a commercial zone. It has a commercial use on it, which is allowed in an RM zone, but it's not zoned for that. So the Planning Commission's recommendation is to delete that residential market designation for the site. Both from the land use plan element and from the Lakeview neighborhood plan map that shows the same thing. The thinking is that the Lakeview neighborhood plan, the recently adopted Lakeview neighborhood plan, has language that provides guidance on commercial use of that residentially zoned site. There's really no change in the status of the property, the current status or redevelopment status by deleting the residential market. As I said, the property owner was notified of the hearing, and I don't know why they didn't receive that. The way I would think would make sense for Houghton, the Houghton Community Council, to think about this is if you concur with the dropping the residential market designation from the Super 24 site, you're probably done with the direction that you need for a recommendation. If you think it should be retained, then I think a dialogue with the Planning Commission about how to get that consistency between with the neighborhood business areas is in order. So that's all I had, and would open up for questions.
Elsie?
Yeah. Question goes over here. In here, I did read that even if we do change this, that it still has to be reviewed through a hearing process in order for them to condos or behind a building or anything like that?
Right. If somebody, it's RM 3.6 zoned.
Yeah.
So if somebody were to tear down the Super 24 and just build condos there at that 3.6 density, they could do that with just a building permit. That doesn't necessarily require a land use permit. But any commercial in the RM 3.6 zone requires Process 2A, which is a hearing examiner hearing and city council appeal.
Mm-hmm. And this does not change the density there at all, does it?
No.
Or the use John? Of that matter.
So, again, to clarify, currently with the residential marked designation, they would still have to follow those same procedures you just described in order to build a commercial building there.
Correct.
Retail building.
There. Right. And so in the RM zone, part of it is has to be designated in the comprehensive plan as appropriate for the commercial use. And the Lakeview Neighborhood Plan says that limited commercial is okay there. And then, so you'd look at through the hearing process, you look at those regulations.
If I may continue.
Yeah.
So looking at the very last page of our packet, 153 has that Lakeview Neighborhood verbiage on it. And one of the words that it does use here is neighborhood commercial. And I was intimately involved with this and the connotations of neighborhood commercial, the neighborhood plans kind of came uphill. And then we began to have some conversations from the Planning Commission about the terminology of what is a neighborhood center and a neighborhood all that conversation that we had. And if you could go back one screen, please, Jeremy. Excuse me. The little intensity chart over there, I think, is really good. So if we're going to use this language, it sounds like this language would stay the same for Lakeview Neighborhood, right? How does the term neighborhood commercial fit in there, and doesn't that mean something? And
I don't know.
Doesn't neighborhood and commercial mean something?
Well, the two things I would point to, one is how's that regulated? How's that policy regulated in the RM 3.6 zone? I don't have it, but I can pull it up if it would be helpful. Kind of what is looked at.
The concept is okay.
Yeah, the types of commercial that are allowed. It's a fairly limited spectrum of uses. There are size limits on how much commercial can go in there, what the gross floor area is. So that's kind of how that gets translated into the RM 3.6 zone. And then the other thing I would direct you to is a second change to the land use element. This is on your page 151, where at the policy level, and we heard this from the council when they were looking at this, they still like the idea that if a neighborhood decides that it wants limited commercial in that neighborhood but wants to protect the neighborhood character, that there still needs, you can't just delete residential market from that, but there still should, that concept should still be captured in the plan. So that's what we've tried to do with that land use policy 5.9, is to capture that notion that if a neighborhood wants commercial in a residential area, that's still viable, but it would come from the neighborhood up.
Question: didn't you just get through saying that if the owner wanted to tear down his superstore, he could put condos up without any? He could just get a building permit and do it, right?
Right. He's not required to have commercial there, if that's your question.
Because it'd be housing. Allowed. It'd be housing, not commercial.
Well, I realize that. Mm-hmm. But that's doing away with the little commercial area.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to get permission to get rid of it either. Yeah. Yeah. So I as part of our discussion, I've got... We'll tie back down the proposed language here, but I'll do that during discussion. Then a question, then, Mike, to the Planning Commission. You all have, maybe it's the reason for this that you described earlier, why the change is important. I've scratched my head on this until I understood what this piece is.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time on this aspect, and it was what we were trying to do is differentiate, as Jeremy explained, the difference between the BN zone properties, which are all designated residential market, versus the Super 24 site, which was not zone BN, but had a commercial use on the site. And we wanted to create a difference or differentiation between those uses and the comp plan designation so that it was clear, so that the BN zone properties had to recognize a higher intensity use, a definite commercial component to that use, the RM30 or RM3.6, that zone allows commercial. It does not require a commercial, whereas the BN zone requires commercial. So rather than calling everything residential market, which was creating confusion in the comp plan, or we felt it was creating that confusion in the comp plan, we felt it was appropriate to designate or take that residential market designation off of the Super 24 site. It taking the designation off clarifies the difference between the zones, but does not change the allowed use that goes on in the property. It does not make the current use non-conforming. They can continue to use it as is. They can enlarge it, modify it, whatever. They have to go through the appropriate process, the 2A process. They can tear it down and put up a condo building, like Jeremy suggested, without going through the 2A process, or they could put up a condo building with some retail on the ground floor. But it's a much lower intensity use than what's anticipated in the BN, and we wanted to create that difference or differentiation between the two in the comp plan. And that's why we took the residential market designation off of the Super 24 site.
And in fact, the RM has a limit on commercial. It limits the size of the commercial to, I think, 3,000 square feet. So that's a distinction, too.
So I think the important thing here, and Elsie, going to the comment about the owner, and I'm not quite sure what type of letter you sent, Jeremy, to him, but if he was following this at all, you know, again, it doesn't change the use, doesn't change the zoning, doesn't change what he can or can't do with the property.
Or the process.
Or the process. So there's no change in that. It's just a comp plan designation to create that differentiation between a higher intensity commercial use versus a use that doesn't require commercial but allows it.
So we're just changing the name. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I guess in essence, that's what we're doing.
Nothing else is changing?
Not for him.
Any other questions? Okay, Jeremy, thank you. Joan, thank you. So with that, we will open the public hearing. And seeing that there is no one in the audience, we will close the public hearing.
You're quick. Before they say anything.
Before anybody comes running in.
Before Ray says.
Okay, with that, the procedure that we're going to follow tonight is typically we would separate, go our own ways, and then the community council would come back to us. What we're going to do is have the Planning Commission just kind of sit back and relax and allow the Houghton Community Council to do their deliberation and then make a recommendation. Then we will go through and do our deliberations and make a recommendation. So if there aren't any objections, we will.
I would suggest you have some discussion if you have issues that you want to discuss jointly.
That's true.
Then yeah. The Houghton Community Council will deliberate and make a recommendation.
All right. Thank you. I think what we ought to do is identify anything that any of us need to discuss or have issue or clarify. I'll start off. I think the first thing is, do we have an issue at all with the removal of the term residential market? The second thing on my list is actually on page 152, the two recommendations for the language under residential market. The third thing I have is on page 151, the insert for the residential market, because that's kind of in our area. I have appropriately addressed all of my other questions have been answered. That's really all I have for the list. Are there anything else by anybody? And we can go through these one at a time and then pass this back over to the Planning Commission.
I think there was only one little thing that I just wondered about, and I'm not even sure that it technically qualifies as something that's under Houghton's jurisdiction. But on page 99, in the public services, police protection, there were some terms changed and conflict resolution was removed. And I was just curious about what that was about.
Let's,
I don't know if there's anything that anybody knows about that.
Do you want to just tackle that one now?
Sure.
Maybe Paul, who's most appropriate to answer that? Joan?
Well, the fire chief reviewed the text here when the NORCOM language was being put into the paragraph and just made that change and sent it back to me. I do not know the significance of what that means, but I can find out for you and let you know.
The fire chief or the police chief?
Did I say fire? I'm sorry. Police.
Because it's under the police protection section.
Yes, it was the police chief.
Well, it looks like to me that perhaps it was just trying to resolve a redundancy because they changed crisis response team to crisis negotiation team.
Mm-hmm. That was my guess, too.
So then maybe that was a redundancy or conflict resolution.
Crisis negotiation and conflict resolution are two very different things. And I'm just speculating that maybe conflict resolution has been something that they did in the past and they're no longer doing it. Some other entity is doing conflict resolution. Anyway, because I've been involved with conflict resolutions and negotiations, it sort of jumped out at me, and I wondered if there was something significant there that we should be aware of, or it was just language cleanup.
I'm wondering if there's a difference between contract law, conflict resolution, and negotiation, and a legal response. You know, you've got a negotiation and backed up by a sniper, I guess. I don't know. It seems that it's kind of the same thing. I don't know either, but
they are.
Seems like that's talking about like neighbors.
So exactly.
Yeah. What would you like to
domestic violence kind of situation?
Do we need to have anything done on
conflict
this?
That they have conflict resolution? I'm not sure. Maybe just find out and
report back.
Yeah.
So that's just a point of information only.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
Okay. So that's simply a point of information. Does anybody else have anything to add to the list, and we'll complete it? If not, we'll...
I think, are we making our little list of stuff? Is that what you're doing?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Laura, Central Houghton should be on that map.
Yeah, I'm glad she caught that. I caught that. I'm sure we all probably caught that. And so I will add that 118, so it's formally done. Anything else?
Well, all the tables and everything. I mean, I don't have anything to argue with what the findings are or anything, you know? I mean, it's kind of
straightforward.
Right. I mean, I don't see how we, unless somebody finds something really bad there, I can't see anything wrong with any of that.
Okay. Bill?
Yeah, I think we've discussed everything and I'm pretty comfortable with everything that's there.
Okay. Brian?
I'm comfortable with everything.
That's it. Okay. So I would like to go back to the points that I mentioned real quick. If we look on page 153 and 148, there are two language proposals that need to get sorted out because I think it's an either-or situation, Planning Commission language versus City Council language. It's very close to much of the conversation we had when we went through the rezoning process for the transit-oriented development site and that area with regards to terminology. So, I have two things on it. On the Planning Commission side, they left the word small, which we always had discussion. It's a subjective term, not an objective term. And on the City Council side, they simply use the word mixed-use buildings and don't limit the size anyway. So one limits to small. The other doesn't limit at all. And I think it might be helpful if we opine to the Planning Commission our thoughts on this so they can grab and make a recommendation.
I like the original definition.
The very small?
Very small.
But how small is very small?
Of course.
Small.
So, why don't we just run around the room, Elsie, maybe start with you, and I'll give everybody a minute.
I like the planning word better.
Okay.
I mean, it's not...
Planning Commission?
The Planning Commission's word. On 152. But you got to remember, this is general. This is comprehensive plan. It's not going to be like the zoning that says you do this, 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 and this. But I still think that's all right.
Well, I think in the spirit of our conversations we had before, this is, I mean, both of these are within the spirit of our conversation. Mm-hmm. We're splitting hairs. I think we should just kind
of... The only thing that is sort of different with the language that exists with between those is that it kind of lays out some examples that give an idea of what the size might be without actually specifying small or very small. I mean, I suppose a daycare center could be very large and a coffee shop could be, although it says small coffee shops, I don't know what a small coffee shop is versus a large coffee shop. Community gathering places can actually be rather large. A dry cleaner's usually sort of about the standard in size. Corner grocery stores, laundromats, I don't know. There's some sort of ideas about what they might be in the language that was there. Not so much size as the kind, so it's... They're really kind of different.
Well, I like the part about these centers provide facilities to serve the everyday needs of the neighborhood, because I think that is kind of what the original definition was trying to get at. It does say the Planning Commission's wording does have focused on local pedestrian traffic, so that it's hinting at it, but it's not quite the same as serving the needs of the...
Well, yeah, and I think people read into pedestrian traffic, it could be bikes and cars and people walking, and some people think, no, it's only people walking, and so could we do this real quick, I mean, and just in a knee-jerk reaction, if I could just run around and see if anybody has a favorite one way or the other, and we'd get a quick straw.
Planning Commission.
Okay, Planning Commission. Bill?
Oh, any preference?
Either way. Ryan?
No preference.
Betsy?
I prefer the Planning Commissions.
I can go with the Planning Commissions as well.
Okay. And I would probably fall on the side of the City Council, so we have two either Planning Commission or... So from our group's recommendation, it would be Planning Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll make that recommendation to the Planning Commission that we follow their language. Okay? All right, let's move on to page 151. The area in red that's striked out talks about the residential markets that we were discussing. And again, it says allow small markets. And I brought this up because simply that it uses the word small, a subjective term. So
go back to the definition of the previous
exactly
item,
you know, exactly. So I'm gonna
keep that.
Just ask you if it's should we just retract my comment and I'll say never mind.
I think it's okay because we do have ensure that the building design is compatible with the neighborhood in style and size, scale, and character.
And the
to permit small individual stores or you know so I mean it's.
The bullet already has small scale, and if you're saying small markets, I guess small markets and small scale kind of go together.
I don't see why we can't have both. Why can't this be in the, we're going to change Lakeview's page and have this
okay
in the comp plan, the city's comp plan. I don't know.
Bill?
Yeah, the definition of small kind of bothers me.
Why?
Because it's open interpretation. Paul talked about in RM 3.6, you said you thought it was 3,000 square foot?
It is in the code.
Right. So is that what small means here, or small means, you know, 6,000 or 9,000 square feet?
It's going to be determined by how much land he's got to work on, don't think.
So you're saying it's limited by the lot size?
Yeah, you're saying something like we don't want it 30 feet high.
Well, 30 feet high is an objective number, not a subjective number.
And if I could interject, I think, sorry, I'm way over here.
We can't hear you.
The intent on that 5.9 is that it sets the groundwork for it, but if it's not until a neighborhood plan asks for this use, in which case the neighborhood plan could provide any further refinement that the neighborhood wanted in it. But this just provides a context to have commercial uses in a neighborhood, in a residential area, but it comes down to the neighborhood plan itself to actually allow it to happen.
Okay, thank you. Let's take a straw poll real quick. Leave it as is, yes or no?
Leave it.
Allow small markets.
Allow small markets.
Yes. In the red, that's yes. What I'm saying.
Yeah. So, Bill?
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just pink. Yes, okay, yes. Never mind on that one then too. Okay, so I think with that, then we're down to three recommendations that the language on page 153 and 148, we recommend the Planning Commission's language. On page 199, for a point of information only, the language from the Police Department.
Page
190. I'm reading ahead, apparently. And on page 118, add Central Houghton to the neighborhood map. I believe that concludes our discussion. Is that right?
Yes.
Paul?
I think Jay Arnold mentioned putting in the implementation chapter a reference to at some point doing the Central Houghton Everest Neighborhood Shopping Center plan.
So. Oh, thank you very much. We would like to include that as a recommendation. All right. Anything else from our group? Our turn to listen, Mr. Chair.
If I could make a comment here, there were a couple other items that we were had talked about possibly changing that I believe Jay had mentioned. One was page 72 and 73 about the comp plan. Now this is outside Houghton's jurisdiction, so do they need to weigh in on these items, or?
They don't have to, they can if they want, but they
okay.
Don't.
72?
Okay.
Utility?
Typically we haven't. I think in the interest of time it doesn't, it's outside our purview. We'll pass.
Okay.
We have a right to say something about utilities, but I don't see any.
This is all about the, I think it's all about the pipeline.
You know?
I think it's all about the pipeline.
Basically. Well, in a sense, if you have a new pipeline, it would apply, you know, citywide, so it's
if
one of those.
If there were a pipeline to be going through Houghton, I think we'd have some other things to say about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure.
There is an existing at this
my front
point.
Door.
Oopsie.
Of course, this could be a lot of
last night?
Thank you, Mike.
No, that was it.
Please.
Okay, so we can open up the discussion here. Who would like to go first on anything and everything? And maybe I'll start with Jay, because you had some very specific recommendations that you might want to bring up.
Okay, so my specific recommendation on my recommendation on the pipeline language on page 72 and 73 would not be a specific change, but instead direct staff to come up with some appropriate language that does not have specific numbers in it, because I am concerned with having a comprehensive plan that you, by state law, can only amend once a year, having some specific numbers in it in regards to safety. That if there was new information that we would need to change this at some point, I'd rather that only be in the zoning code.
Why don't we just take a real quick on each one of these items that comes up, just take a quick head nod to see if everybody's in agreement with that. So do I see a lot of head nods here? Okay. So are you guys keeping notes here on changes? Okay. So on that one would be eliminating the dimensions in the comp plan and only having them in the zoning code. Okay. Is that it, Jay? I thought you had, didn't so you, the, something about
the other specific priority? Thing I had was the addition of the Houghton Everest Business Center to the implementation tasks that begin on page 91. Although the addition may happen on page 95 because you've got things about specific plans, but it doesn't matter to me whether it's land use element on page 91 or neighborhood plans on 95. I just want to make sure it's tracked that we're doing that.
And then related to that, remember you, it indicated that the stars, those are all going away, right?
Yes.
For all on that entire table.
We were thinking of starting that process next week, if that's okay with the group.
No. Okay. Yes. John.
So the only comments I had were things that I emailed earlier today, which was a couple things. One, I was really happy this time around. I know I was critical last year about no projects being shown in the new neighborhoods, and this year there have been projects added there in the CIP. So I'm pleased about that. Now it's just getting them built, but that's another story. But the CIP list, one of the things I raised was that CIP list is not final yet, and that the final would be incorporated into this comp plan and capital facilities plan. Two, that there was just a few minor corrections on the maps that I think would be easy to incorporate related to a couple designations up there on the CIPs that they were incorrectly shown, and I emailed that to you. But I don't know that we need to vote on that. I think those are just corrections. And that was it. But overall, I was just happy to see all that. So, thank you.
Andy, you had mentioned the issue with the trails being shown on the bicycle map in Bridle Trails Park. Personally, I would like to see the maps cleaned up. I'm not sure that there's any reason to be showing trails, any kind of trails or bike paths or anything else on property that's outside the city limits in the comp plan maps. And I think just looking at the maps, there seem to be a lot of errors on them. On the bicycle map, for instance, there's some of the shared bicycle lanes going through downtown. On Lake Street, it seems to stop south of Kirkland Avenue, and it continues all the way to Central. So there's just minor fixes on the map, and whether or not you do it now or do it next year on the full comp plan update, but I think there's any kind of consensus. Maybe just probably don't have time to do it this time around, but maybe next year take a closer look at the maps to make sure that the maps get corrected.
Yeah, if you know something in particular, you know, email us or let us know. Okay. We can see what we can do too.
Yeah, one way or the other, I feel very strongly that those Bridle trails should not be shown on the bike map. I recognize there are other trails that are shown on there, like the waterfront paths that are also closed to bikes. There's been enough of a history of abuse and people getting fined and things that we don't want to encourage that by having a Kirkland map that shows those as bike paths. Or paths on which bikes are allowed.
Any other comments, thoughts, questions? The Houghton Community Council suggested that they liked our language on page 148 as it relates to the residential market description versus the council's language. Is there any thought on whether or not we want to take another shot at the council or just let it lie?
I'm trying to remind me, did the council give us that language exactly in direction and then we came up with our recommendation? Is that how this went?
No, the council gave us broad direction on setting density limits and setbacks and that sort of criteria. We came up with the language that's shown here as a planning commission recommendation, gave that to the council, and then the council came back with their modification to our language.
Okay.
Just to be, so this, the status on this is the planning commission delivered their recommendation to the city council, who reviewed it, made this adjustment. So this is what they've asked for in an ordinance when it goes back to them on December 11th for adoption.
And
if, I'm sorry, can I keep going for
sure.
Just to clarify one thing or set expectations?
Yeah.
My understanding of Houghton's recommendation, I think they're trying to bolster your resolve. If you feel like, if you feel strongly about your initial recommendation to council, then we can include that in the December 11th packet. But I do think that once, if there are no residential markets left in Houghton when all is said and done, I'm not sure that Houghton has a disapproval jurisdiction over this. So I think that's the value of their recommendation to the Planning Commission at this point.
Yeah, and I'm and I'm only bringing it up because they brought it up and just wanted to see if there's any interest on the Planning Commission to go after this again. The chair isn't real excited about doing it.
Well, so assuming we were
to, one up there making the recommendation.
Assuming we were to move recommendation of these revisions, which language are we recommending? Since we already made the recommendation once and the council came back with something different. So I'm not sure, and they're both reflected here. So we need to at least decide what we're recommending to council before we can make a movement and make a motion and go home.
That's a very good point. And I guess the chair's position would be to go with the planning or the city council's recommendation.
Okay.
When we go back with the recommendation to the city council, I'm not sure that it's going to go anywhere. And quite frankly, in looking at the nuances that they, or the changes that they've made, personally, I kind of like theirs better than ours.
And if I can ditto that up to a point, well, I guess I do like theirs. I believe the statement that the pedestrian-oriented, which came up, means that they are easy access by pedestrians, as opposed to, say, the Walgreens on 85th, which, if you're walking, you're dodging huge parking lot and drive through, and there's no windows, and so pedestrian oriented and serve the local neighborhood. That's great. My only question, which we had and they have as well, is residential scale and design are critical to integrate, blah, 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 blah. I mean, that's ridiculous. The residential design part, there's a very effective residential market scale mixed use project where the Blockbuster used to be at 132nd and Northeast 70th and Bridal Trails and Redmond downstairs being commercial, upstairs being residential. I mean, there's nothing residential design about the Super 24 and why we would be putting something in the comp plan which would suggest zoning code language, which suggests either design review or some design guidelines that say it's got to look like a house. I mean, why are we saying residential design on something which is a store? No one, I mean, we want a coffee shop, right? We don't want a coffee shop that looks like somebody's house. We want a coffee shop that looks like a coffee shop.
So taking the word residential off of there and scale and design are critical to integrating into the neighborhood?
Well, I would say appropriate scale and design. To integrate these uses into the surrounding neighborhood, surrounding residential area. I would just say make it appropriate.
The residential scale and design was part of our original recommendation.
And I didn't like it then either.
they left it in.
I look at this. If the city council had made a change that I thought would be against, counter to the spirit of our policy recommendations, I think we might weigh in. But at this point, we are wordsmithing, and I would defer. I don't think it's worth making an additional recommendation, because the language it has here in some respects is stronger in talking about serving the local neighborhood, and other changes don't rise to the point of saying we need to weigh in.
I think it's a significant improvement to merely say appropriate design and scale, and I think that the council will read that and say, okay, one word change and it works, because if you think about it, especially if we note it in our communication, that we don't expect the commercial space to be designed to look like a residence. We expect it to be looking like a coffee shop that looks like a coffee shop, but it needs to be designed in a way that's appropriate. Just like we did with Kid Valley down on the boulevard, right? It doesn't look like any other Kid Valley. It's not a bunch of neon. There's not a backlit glowing sign with that stupid kid in it, right? I mean, we've done this in the past. We've made things appropriate for the residential areas. But they don't look like residences. They're not residential design. They're appropriate design. And I would like, so I said one, Jay said something else. We should hear from the rest and move on. One word change to the city council direction.
Well, let's go right down the line. Byron?
Well, I do think that the reference to residential design is kind of peculiar. I can see the scale aspect of what they're driving at there. They want it to integrate well. I don't recall their conversation on the design end, whether they in fact wanted it to bear some resemblance to, you know, residential structures. That seems kind of peculiar. I mean, if they did, I guess, you know, we could consider specifically whether or not we thought that was a good idea. It seems to me like they removed the very small and dealing with some reference to scale, and they kind of replaced it with, you know, it's going to refer to the surrounding residential area for that. But I kind of liked the Planning Commission recommendation that has a reference to size. I mean, I think I can remember when we had the conversation, Andy's recommendation was to remove very, and that was it. And because we were trying to tweak the, calibrate this, you know, the size so that we wanted it to be, you know, boosted up a little bit. So I don't know. I'm happy with what we have. I didn't think that what the council changed to made much of a change at all. So I like what the Planning Commission recommend original one is.
You agree?
I'm with Andy on this one for the reasons he noted.
Glenn?
City council direction. I don't know. I could go either way. I'm okay with the appropriate scale and design. I can live with the residential scale and design, but I want to go with the city council recommendation. Either.
John?
I don't have a strong feeling either way.
I just had a question. What was the recommendation? The addition of appropriate was to what? The council version?
Yes.
Just change that?
Yes. Yes. Right, Andy?
Yes. Take the council version, change the word residential to appropriate.
Well, I understand. I have a feeling what residential scale means. I don't know what appropriate scale means. I mean, appropriate scale is, is what is appropriate to. It's talk about subjective.
Well, no, but it.
Appropriate scale. I mean, I don't see where it draws a reference.
Well. It does. You need to read the whole sentence. Appropriate scale and design are critical to integrate these into the surrounding residential areas. So point is it's appropriate to the surrounding residential area.
Well, then you could just do without appropriate. Say scale and design are critical to, well, either way, I suppose.
I agree. You could do, you could go with, just delete the word residential and just go with scale and design.
I would support that.
I would support that as well. Just remove the word residential. It's a smaller change.
Okay.
So, where are you, Byron? Are you the city council with Ann? Okay.
So I think my proposal has been modified to merely remove the word residential.
Okay, well, then, which is what I was suggesting. My only comment concerning this is residential. I think we're thinking of residential as looking like a house, but residential neighborhoods are also the multifamily neighborhoods, and I think the intent here, and certainly carried forward into the code, was to make it look like a multifamily residential structure, not a single family house.
Just as big
after,
a problem.
After saying that, I since we've got have had so much trouble with this and residential market and stuff, I would agree to either change it to appropriate or just remove the word residential and just put scale and design.
I think you got to leave appropriate in there or rewrite the whole sentence to say scale and design appropriate to the neighborhood. I think appropriate scale and design is better.
Yeah, I think we've got a consensus to just drop the word residential and just go scale and design.
We do?
I think, don't we?
Why, buddy?
Four.
We got three.
At least four.
I don't care.
So. I'm okay with either of those. So, I'm either way, Byron. You prefer appropriate or
no? We can just
blank.
Remove it.
Okay.
Because it's great, in there. Great, there's great. Another.
Yeah.
Two, and where are you? You just want to remove it?
Just remove it.
Fine, that's, yes.
Whatever. Catch all that, Jeremy? Yeah.
Don't think the light.
So it's, and just in case, so it's the city council language minus the word residential.
Okay. Anything else?
Can you guys live with that?
Yeah.
Oh, he would.
I'm not sure when you or if you need us to weigh in on this, and I also think we need to conclude with a motion.
You need to do a motion, and then we'll do our motion.
Okay. So when you finish the roundtable, we'll just.
Yeah, I
brush
think
brush up and motion, and then you can motion.
Okay, I think,
just about ready to make one, so.
Okay, I think we're
you're
done,
up, guys.
We'll let Houghton go first, and then we'll do ours. So it's all yours.
So, point of clarification for you, Mike. Do you want to add to your motion the other things about the pipeline and the other things that were critical to you all, and in our motion? We'll only have your language adding Central Houghton to the map and the implementation for the neighborhood, business center. Those are the only three things we'll have in our motion.
Yeah.
And then you'll add the others.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's that?
Jay, could you help us out with that, please? That's I didn't write the page number down. It's page 9. It's 70.
89? Is that the one?
Page 91.
Yeah. Thank you.
Page 91. Isn't it already there?
It's on page 89.
Isn't it already there on LU8?
Oh, yeah. It's on LU10.
That is correct.
LU8.
Betsy wins the prize.
Yeah, I even circled it.
Yeah, it's just kind of hidden there because of the text. So,
yeah.
Very good.
Okay. It's there.
Oh, good.
It's there again. So, we need a motion supporting the Planning Commission's recommendation for language to the City Council based off the information on page 53 and 148. And I think if we simply do it by saying supporting the Planning Commission's language, then that'll cover their tweak.
Do you want me to say that?
And secondly, we'd like to add that on page 118, Central Houghton be added to the map. Those are the only two items in our motion.
And are we were agreeing with the change in on page 151?
Oh, yeah, yes, because, oh, wait a minute, because the word small got taken out, didn't it?
Wow. Mark
no,
skin.
No. Not on 51. It stayed the way it was. Yeah.
On page 151, my understanding was we were agreeing with changing allow residential markets to the language recommended in the little box.
Well, I think we agreed to that because the Planning Commission's language had small in it and the City Council's language took small out.
But we agreed to have this in here.
Yes.
And it has small in it there.
Yes.
Well, I'm
so we're agreeing to the recommended change on page 151, if I'm sort of trying to cobble together the motion. And we concur with the Planning Commission's current recommendation as discussed this evening, whatever it is that they're recommending. And and the map. Making sure that we're included on the map. Central Houghton is included on the map.
Okay.
That's...
So the motion would be that we agree with the language presented on page 151.
Yes.
On page 153 and 148, the language as ratified by the Planning Commission will be acceptable to us.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter.
That's what
and
like.
On page 118, we'd like a Central Houghton added to the map. Can I have a motion? Thank you.
You mean 152 and 148?
He read it. Yeah. I'll second it.
Wait a minute. I just want to clarify this. Jeremy, are you the one writing this down?
Yes, it's 152.
Yeah, so...
151?
152 and 148. Thank you, Bill. So on page 152 and 148, the Planning Commission language will agree to, as concluded this evening.
We also agree to the change on page 151.
We agree with that. You have that.
Agree to the change on 151. Mm-hmm. And we'd like Central Houghton added to the map on page 118.
Right.
So your motion is okay as amended.
Yes.
May I have a second?
And I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. We pass our motion off to you, Mike. So.
Thank you.
And we don't get to go home now,
right? So, can I, if there is there any further discussion, questions, comments? If none, could I get a motion?
I move that we recommend the city-initiated comprehensive plan amendments with the following discussed changes. Removal of specific distance numbers in the hazardous liquid pipeline policy on page 72 and 73. Adding Central Houghton to the map on page 118, removing the word residential from residential scale and design on page 148 and 152, and removal of priorities in the tasks, implementation tasks on page 91.
Or that table.
From that table.
Yeah, that whole table.
Do you have a second?
Do you want to add that? Those numbers from the pipeline should be.
I did.
Asks that they be put into the zoning code. Although I don't know.
They are in the
zoning code. Oh, and accepting the staff recommendation on not changing the Evergreen Hill neighborhood name yet.
Second.
keeping it as Kingsgate in the comprehensive plan until. It is name changes considered next year.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Jay, seconded by John. Any discussion? Hearing none, call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Okay.
Kudos to the chairs and staff for a quick hearing. Thank you. Move approval of the Planning Commission meeting minutes of 25 October 2012.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes. Paul, any council actions, anything that you want to add tonight?
Well, I can mention maybe a couple of things. At the council meeting Tuesday night, if you remember the discussion on the non-conforming density that came before you at some point. They were looking at an option to allow rebuilding of properties that have non-conforming density and still keep their current density or current number of units. But at the same time, they want to hold a public hearing on that. We'll probably bring that back sometime in January, February. Planning Commission had recommended a more modest approach, was allowing some flexibility, but the majority of the council Wednesday night, indicated that they would want to be a little more flexible in allowing people to rebuild on those properties.
Thank you. Anything else? Hearing none, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you. We are adjourned.
See you next week.
Next meeting.
Did you read this out?
Okay. The which?
Oh, yeah. We're back next week.
Did you read that?
19th. Why don't we have that?
I have heard week, right? Of November. I'm not sure what you're talking about. I have heard of
it. Wasn't on yours?
Oh, well, last night. No,
last night.
Settlement agreement that the city is prepared.
And I'm not coming to that.
You're off there.
No, that's the December one we know we can't pull anyway.
Oh, I see.
About 200 units or something like that.
98.
Yeah. Basically be held to the existing regulations.
The council said they wanted more flexibility.
Another neighborhood group, or a neighborhood group under a different name, sued Darcy and the city. Darcy would sue the city. Darcy would sue the city.